This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where the Washington offense will take over.
Nick Allegretti, Illinois.
And Mahomes will keep it himself for the moment and then throw for a touchdown. And there is Allegretti, who comes in and lines up as an eligible receiver.
Watch him sling down Watt on this play, and that's what sets it up. Watt looks around like, what the heck? That can't be legal.
My brother from Chi-Town, Frankfort, Illinois' finest.
There we go.
Lincoln Way East High School.
Holy cow.
Nick Allegretti.
Pacheco. He'll get it again behind left guard. Triangle out. Pushing. Touchdown! Kansas City!
Nick Allegretti for the Kansas City Chiefs stepped in for our Pro Bowl offensive guard, Joe Tooney, for the AFC Championship.
Big shoes to fill.
Huge shoes to fill and stepped up like a champion.
Nick Allegretti at that left guard position. He drove the defender into the backfield, opening up that lane for Isaiah Pacheco and the touchdown.
Pacheco trying to get a good drive starter, and he does. He's got a first down. Angry, running angry as he has made quite a reputation for himself.
Yeah, Allegretti pulls on this, and it's a really good start to the drive.
The Chiefs have won Super Bowl 58. They're the first team to repeat in almost 20 years, back-to-back Super Bowl champions.
Nick has been year in, year out, Mr. Reliable, every single time he gets that opportunity to go in there, to play as good as he did and to play as big as he did in that moment, in that game. We couldn't have did it without you, brother.
You know, a ton of respect for the guys in Kansas City. I enjoyed my role there, but, you know, I think that I had gotten to the point in my career where I wanted to come in, I wanted to be a starter week one, and that's my goal, you know, coming to Washington.
Touchdown, Washington! Jeremy McNichols!
I tell you what, so I got to get John Mason, Nick Allegretti, I got to get him some love, too.
Absolutely, there's your duo, Fletch.
That's my duo!
Your favorite play in the book, man.
Boom! Nick Allegretti, say hello to Miles Garrett's ribs. Bow! That's how you play this.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I love that. Tanny bringing Nick Allegretti out here. And here's the thing. I know Travis was trying to pump up the interview. I'm not sure that he understands the powerhouseness of Lincoln Way East football. Like, for real, for real. Like, that is Lincoln Way East runs bleep. Okay. So I just wanted, you know, I know Travis was looking on Wikipedia and all this stuff.
Somebody was reading that.
Someone was reading Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
But Nick, you know this. Lincoln Way East is for real, for real.
Absolutely. One, I appreciate you guys having me on. But no, I'll give Trav the credit. He roomed with Dan Giordano, one of my first guys I looked up to from Lincoln Way East at Cincinnati. So Trav's dialed into Lincoln Way East. He's met Coach Z. He knew the whole bit. He knows all about Lincoln Way East.
All right, good. I'm glad to see that he's true to this and not new to this.
How proud is Coach Z and the Lincoln Way East community of Nick Allegretti. Six seasons, six conference championships, four Super Bowls, three rings for Nick Allegretti. This is an insane thing. I imagine they are proud, sir.
Yeah, he actually got a chance to come out to the Dallas game this year, and obviously our schedules conflict pretty regularly every year, so he was able to make it to the Dallas game this year, and one of the cooler moments of my career, seeing him on the field before the game and seeing him after, really getting to enjoy himself for once, works his ass off for Lincoln Waste, and getting to see him, you know, be a fan and come out and watch me. Meant a ton for him to be there. The whole community is proud, and I appreciate all of them.
Nick, we marvel at what Patrick Mahomes has accomplished. You've been in the huddle with the man. You've been on the field with the man. What is it that makes him so special?
That's probably too tough to answer in a short spurt, but he is an incredible competitor, I think. That's what you see with all the greats, their competitive edge, whether it's shooting the shit in the locker room with the basketball, cornhole, ping pong. He's just that kind of guy that's elite at everything he tries. But then just, I don't know if he'll ever get credit for the football IQ that he has. He made our job at O-line so, I don't want to say easy, but as easy as he possibly could. Calling the protections, reading coverages, and, you know, we'd walk up to the line of scrimmage and you'd be in the midst of the game, not, you know, maybe you're not sure exactly what's coming, but he'd be like, all right, shit, five down that guy. Oh, sorry. He'd be like, hey, five down 54, 57 comes, I got him. And it's like the confidence in himself to just be like, all right, I think 54 is coming. If he comes, O-line's got him. If I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong. 57's coming. I'll throw hot off him. And it's just like you hear the quarterback say that. You're like, all right, we'll block those five guys. Don't got to worry about the other guy if he comes. And normally if he's wrong, he would dice the defense up even more. So just a special talent physically, but the mental side of his game is impressive and something he'll probably not get credit for because it's hard to really see what he does in protections and with rush lanes when he has pressure escaping, all that stuff. It's pretty impressive.
That's really good stuff. Cause I mean, I'm fascinated, Nick, by the relationship between the quarterback and the offensive line in terms of one making the other better. It's not just like, oh, go spend money on the offensive line and everything will be fine. The quarterback's got a big role to play. How did the rookie Jaden Daniels do in that regard in terms of learning protections, helping you guys? How did you think he did at that part of the job?
He did a tremendous job. So yeah, that was new for me this year. Obviously, leaving Pat, where it was, you know, rinse and repeat. We watched the blitzes. You'd seen pretty much all of them before, and we'd get our plan together. With Jay, it was a little bit new. You know, he was calling, or offensive line was calling a lot of the protections, and he was learning the way that we call them with the new center this year with Tyler, and he picked it up as the season went along. And then I think the rush lanes thing, like I mentioned with Pat, Jaden really did a great job learning. Because you're going to, you know, there's going to be pressure. The defensive linemen are too damn, boy, I'm so too good in this league.
Damn, you're good on damn. You're good with damn.
Okay, awesome. All right. They're too good in this league to not expect any pressure. So to be able to handle the pressure, know where your escape lanes are, whether it's, you know, with your feet or, you know, dropping the ball off to, you know, the running back. He did a great job with that. And then I think if you look at the Tampa game we had in that wild card round, I mean, Todd Bowles does an incredible job with the pressures that they bring. We're watching, we played in week one, and then we're watching the tape from the year and watching incredible O-lines, incredible quarterbacks, having free runners every game. It's really hard to be able to pick up their pressures the way that they have, you know, outside backer, defensive end type bodies that can play anywhere from pretty much a four tech to dropping in coverage. I mean, they're dropping Anthony Nelson. They dropped Vita. I mean, the way that they were able to drop pressures was difficult, and we ended up We came up with a plan about midway through the week. We didn't like it. It was not making sense to Jay, to a couple of the linemen. So we devised another plan, and we were pretty happy with that plan. We went into the game. First third down, Jay recognizes it's one of these pressures that it have confused teams all year. Checks us to the check that we put in. We picked it up. The second time, he left our original call on, which was our first way we picked it up, and we picked it up that way too. So we ended up picking it up two different ways, and we kind of put their coordinator in a little bit of a blender that way, because I don't know if any team had picked it up that way. And for Jay to be able to walk out there first third down of a playoff game, see this seven up front and get the O-line going in the right direction as a rookie, I mean, that's some rare stuff. So he did an incredible thing.
So what we wondered, that's great stuff. So what we wondered all year, and I'm sure you had this conversation with your dad along the way, could Caleb have done what Jaden did there? And what would Jaden have done with what Caleb had to work with here? You can finally answer this one definitively for us, Nick.
You guys probably know I'm not going to put a yes or no on either of those. I will say it, there's a lot of pieces, you know. I think that what we had in D.C. was, we're fortunate. We had a new ownership that brought in the right pieces from Adam Peters to Dan Quinn down. And really did a good job building the roster. You know that Chicago still got my heart, so I follow them. I think they did a really good job putting the roster together. It's just it was another one of those awkward Chicago situations where you got a coach that kind of hot seat with the first round quarterback. So I think Caleb did a good job this year. He did a lot of good things. But with hires look good. I mean, Ben Johnson was incredible this year. You know, listen, I know I can't help but follow Chicago, and they went out and they got the guy that everyone wanted, and brought EB in. EB is going to be awesome. If you guys go out to a training camp or you see him in practice, just know that he loves the guys, because he'll be snapping. But he's going to be really good for that offense. I think they did bring Calvin Johnson in as well.
Antoine Randall. There was a Calvin Johnson rumor out there. Yeah,
another South Suburban legend.
Absolutely. So bringing in those type of guys that have played the game at a high level, intelligent football guys as well. I'll be a Bears fan my whole life. I can't help that. You know, obviously not my number one team while I'm playing, but they're giving themselves a chance. And I think Caleb's going to have a great year next year.
So, Nick, I need you to answer this like you're talking to the priest at the church, okay? when you guys won the game against the Bears, when the Hail Mary hit, did you even know? Like, when did you know? Because you were blocking. So, when did you know that the ball had been caught and you guys had won the game?
So, I mean, it was the longest play of my life. You know, where it's a three-man rush, you're blocking. We had, I think, Edwards was kind of spying. So you're kind of just in a pass pro stance, mirror dodging for about 15 seconds, which is the worst thing you do as an O-lineman. And I end up coming back and hit one of the defensive linemen. Gave myself probably the worst Charlie horse I've had in my career. So, I mean, my back was turned to the end zone. I was like limping as I fell to the ground, and then turned around and I saw him catch it. But it was one of those things, you can't believe it. I've never been a part of Hail Mary till then. But man, it was, I've had a lot of very fortunate parts of my career, but in terms of single moments, that's definitely up there. It was incredible. And then about 5 minutes later, I do think about Chicago, like, man, I know I got about 300 texts right now from buddies, family that are devastated from what just happened. So it is cool to play the Bears in kind of, lack of better, funny the way that it ended, because I was a Bears fan for 23 years. So I have that pain still.
You know, our whole season fell apart, right? Like immediately, in the 3 days after that, the coaches said some dumb stuff, and the players were like, "Why'd the coaches say that?" And they said that, and then the coaches didn't say anything about that. Then they didn't suspend a guy who like wasn't even paying attention. He was, so what was the inverse? Because it looked like Dan Quinn and you guys, like, what happened in your building that week?
You know, so there had been a couple. When you have such a new organization, I mean, we brought in, I think, day one, 53-man roster, we had 30 new guys. I think it was the biggest turnover since World War II. I mean, it was a massive turnover. So you have those new guys with all these different philosophies and mindsets. But DQ sat us down first time we show up in OTAs, and he's talking about how do we become a playoff team right now. We're in April. It's April 2nd. Team just won four games the year before. We haven't even drafted our quarterback yet. And he's talking about making the playoffs. So there's a little belief there. People are starting to buy in. And then a couple of those magical moments are kind of what you need to get an organization going. Like, the belief is great. It's great to talk about it. But once you see it happen a few times, you kind of buy in. You're like, yeah, all we need is a chance. We put ourselves in every and we're able to put the ball in five's hands at the end of the game, we're going to have a chance. So it definitely did kind of spark our season, and I know it was kind of the opposite for the Bears stuff, but really, I mean, I can talk all day about how impressed.
Oh, no. We're losing Nick. He's so great.
Rebuild created as a revamp.
Washington guard Nick Allegretti joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. We talked to you about Patrick, and you used to protect Patrick. Patrick's going to have to deal with Jalen Carter, and you had to block Jalen Carter. What's that like?
Oh, he's a terror. Obviously, he is an incredible player. A classic term in the offensive line world is werewolf. You know, he's got everything. You know, we tried to throw a couple of wham blocks at him. Jumped over one of our ramp blocks. It is ridiculous. He's a special player, but, you know, that offensive line, he'll be mostly on the right side for a majority of the game, unless the overload front. So Trey will have him a lot. It's going to be physical. If you like offensive line, defensive line play, Trey Smith, Jalen Carter will be a blast. I'm going to obviously watch the game, and I'll probably watch mostly that because it will be – they both like to talk. And they are both as physical as it gets in the trenches, so it'll be fun.
That's a big one to watch, Nick. And then we're kind of hoping that Ryan Poles pays Trey Smith whatever he wants. I bet you do. He'd reset the guard market. That would only do good things for you as raising all the boats.
Yeah, there's nobody that deserves a contract more than Trey. Guy that, you know, fell to the sixth round because of some, you know, health concerns, but was a clear first round talent. He deserves to get paid. He's an old school, physical, nasty offensive lineman, a guy that, you know, can really change a room. So I think he'd be a great fit there. I'd love to show him around Chicago for sure. I hope. Give him as much money as they have. It'd be great. Trey deserves it. One of my guys, I hope they pay him for sure.
Where are you taking him? Where does one guard take another guard in the city of Chicago for a good meal?
I have to go to Chicago, cut my first meal. Those are my guys up there. My wife and I got married there during COVID. So I would definitely take him up to Chicago, cut, get a great meal there. Then I would take him over to the suburbs and get some good pizza. But I would take him to the cut first.
Well, wait, though, but I got to ask. You know, my parents are not far from this. So what would you get Trey Smith at the Frankfurt Creamery?
That's a great question. So we, O-linemen obviously like to eat. And Trey, you know, he'll eat clean, but when he decides to cut it loose, he's going to cut it loose. So probably the brownie delight, extra hot fudge, extra brownie. Man, I haven't had one of those in a while. That sounds incredible. That's what I ate. That was my order. That was my order for a long time. That would definitely be the go-to.
That's what's up, because that place is amazing.
It sounds incredible.
Oh, they only open like spring, summer, and barely into the fall. Mm. So we're still like a few weeks from them opening back up. But when they do, the line is almost all the way to the high school.
Wow.
There's nothing better. Yeah, it used to open, and we lived about a five-minute walk from the creamery. So the day it opened, we'd ride our bikes over, walk over. It was right across from the main park where we play football, baseball. But yeah, creamery is a great memory.
Where are you watching the game? What's the setup? How many people? What are the snacks? Paint a picture.
I'm on the way back to Chicago right now, so I will. I'll be in the suburbs. I think we're gonna have, hopefully, my brother and my two college roommates over. It's weird. I mean, I've been very fortunate, as you guys said, and I've only ever watched one Super Bowl in my career, and I was kind of, and I didn't really want to watch it.
You were playing in all the other ones, is what you're saying. You've all, yeah.
That's, yeah. Ridiculous. So I have never had to plan one other time.
Whatever.
I talk to my wife all the time about how surreal some of the statements that I say are. It doesn't make sense.
It makes sense to us, though, man. And congratulations on all of the Super Bowls and all the success. Thanks so much for joining us. Tell your dad, hey, because we love your dad here at the Score. And hopefully I will run into you this summer in the creamery, because that place is amazing.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, all right, Nick.
This guy.
My God. That dude.
I'm setting it up, man. I'm setting it up. When he's done in like 6 or 7 years, let's just get his contract ready right now. Let's just get him ready right now.
What shift? Can we give him Bernstein's job? Or you mean?
I wasn't trying to get anyone fired. Oh. I was saying that we were just adding.
My bad.
I feel like that's a
Tanny's job.
No, I think we're adding on to our pre and post game roster right there.
I see.
With the Nick Allegretti.
Oh my God!
No one has to be fired.
Oh, all right. I got a list.
You do?
Well, apparently, clearly, Bernsy and Tanny are on top of it.
Holy Chicago!
Man, there was some meaty football stuff in there. About the Hail Mary, about Jaden and Caleb.
And his ability to be responsible for his own protection.
Dude, Jaden learning, like, the line calling all the protections during Jaden's year, but by the time the playoffs come, he's ready to do what he needs to do. And then Patrick just elite with calling protections. That's the difference. That's what life is like. And now Caleb gets to start completely over with a new system and new coaches and new everything, learning it all fresh because of some idiotic hires in year one.
So if you wanted to have like another player like that you root for that isn't on the Bears, there you go. There's another guy that you can root for. So shout out to him, man.
Yeah, man.
That was a lot of fun.
And good stuff on Trey Smith. And later on in the show, you're going to hear some more endorsements of Trey Smith that are going to, frankly, they're going to blow your mind. They blew mine.
Speaks, you've been out here talking about coaching hires and stuff with the Bears, and you've been impressed, right?
Yes.
What we got for you next is going to be more impressive than anything the Bears have done.
Really?
Yeah.
An assistant coach is going to impress me more?
Well, I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Let's hear it.
How about that? That's next on the Score.
Spiegel.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Holmes. Richard Deitch from The Athletic.
I just want to say, it's always great to be on Chicago. If not the current city I'm in now, or New York, it is my favorite city.
I mean, this is very much some Mick Foley type stuff that you're doing right now, Richard. This is the greatest city, Chicago, Illinois.
I just gave myself some cheap heat. Thank you, guys. Be well. Chicago's the best.
The city of Chicago.
Afternoons on The Score.
It's the Spiegel at Home show. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. We got you until 6 o'clock. We started the show talking with Jared Payton. We didn't even let you know that Dave Wansta is going to be on today's show at 4 o'clock. Adam McKay is going to join us at 4:30.
Yeah, man. Wani just moved to 5, by the way.
Oh, that's
flipped
right.
In.
Whoa.
Yes. And Adam McKay, whose list of credits are outrageous. The Lakers show on HBO.
Winning Time.
Succession, executive producer of Succession.
Not a bad day to have him on.
No, it's true. With the matriarch passing. What is that? What does that mean? And then, oh yeah, by the way, head writer on SNL for 7 years, Anchorman, Talladega Nights, The Big Short, and many, many more.
Tell him I said hello.
Oh, we will, Tony.
We will. Well, maybe Tony will be here because we just found out that Wani's going to be here.
It's true. Dave Wanstead in person. That's going to be great fun.
So Dave Wanstead in person at 5 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, we will go through, they just finished up the press conference with AK.
Trying to articulate the middle.
Yep. The reviews that I've heard from people, not great.
The quotes that I've seen, not great as well.
Oh, man.
It's tough.
Well, okay. Well, what if I told you that you were going to have fun right now?
I'd like to have some fun. You said there's an assistant coach who got hired by a football team who might impress me more than the likes even of Eric Bieniemy, Antoine Rendell, Ellen Moore.
USC hired Rob Ryan as their linebackers coach.
This is not Rex Ryan who loves feet. He's the foot-loving son of Buddy Ryan. This is Rob Ryan.
Let's looks go like, to eat a snack.
Who looks like Thor because he's got the best hair ever.
Thor after he let himself go. Just a little bit.
Yeah, well,
it's
that
like
happened,
if you took
though.
Rex Ryan and you were like, you know what, not awesome enough. Let's just turn this up a little bit.
Let's turn up the volume on Rex Ryan.
Let's Rossify him by 10%.
Yeah, it's Thor at the beginning of Endgame.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's what it is when you look at Rob Ryan. Well, he had a press conference today, Speaks, that a lot of people on the West Coast, the West Coast faction of the Big Ten, are going, man, I'm glad that my team didn't hire him. We think this is pretty epic, though.
Rob Ryan here, my sister. And actually, she's no relation, but she's awesome. I'm going to be me. I'm comfortable in my own skin. But anyway, let's open it up and everybody just whatever. I don't hear great, so you may have to speak up or whatever.
You mentioned, the relationships and between Lynn and your brother.
My father, clear nepotism, man. He hired me and Rex to coach with the Cardinals. We have been college coaches. Complete nepotism, absolutely. These coaches are, I call them young because they're young compared to me. Willie McGinnis, he's long, gorgeous, tough. Anyway, the Jets never had a quarterback until Sanchez. There you go, a little brief history.
You said you haven't coached in college for quite a while.
I mean, that's Pete Carroll. Like, that guy's Pete. He's got energy. He's unbelievable. Everybody loves him. He walks in the building. He's like, oh, Annie. No, they did not trust me. I'm going out by myself. I would have probably broke every rule. No, I wouldn't have.
The linebacker room, what's your evaluation of the room that you've inherited?
I do great with those guys with the long arms, Good-looking kid, So it's like he plays violently. I know maybe that's not a great word. I'm not allowed to say he'll dent a helmet, but excited about the recruiting class. I can't talk about that, but...
Better hair, you or Troy Polamalu?
Ooh, I'd have to say Troy there. That's a close one. Mine's a little grayer, but he's getting a little tinted gray now. Both of us, ironically, married Greek women. Oh, that was it's tough. They're the alphas that are best people in the world.
You mentioned your praise for Danton.
Me and Rex were Cub fans, the Cubs make it to the World Series. They're playing Cleveland for the World Series, Game 7. So Rex, being the head coach, he's like, well, let's go get a van and load it up, a bus, and take it over there to go watch Game 7. This is no lie. This is Tuesday during the season. I'm like, we can't do that. Well, he did. He took everybody but two coaches, me and Dan. I was like, well, we can't leave. We got work to do. We got to coach this team up. I think it might have been my training from Belichick or whatever. I'm not leaving. Hell. Dan did the same thing at UCLA. They get the garbage outfit and went in the top 10. Oh, good. Bring it on. Bam, we're going to get after his little butt. And I saw the Maiava guy. I coached his uncle. I'm going to go to Maui. He's like, hey, Rob, you getting any kind of trouble now? You just tell him you know Kalooks. What do you mean? You never called for the rent-a-car? I told you she's Greek. I'm like, yeah, they must have lost it. So, of course, I forgot to call. So what do? I know Kalooks. I got a car. Oh, you know Kalooks? Swear to God, hand to God, true story. I got a van. I'm like, yeah, Kalooks, my man. Anyway, I end up loving the kid. Is he mean as a rattlesnake. Sorry. Threw that one off track there.
No apologies.
Oh, my God. That is the defensive coordinator of the University of Southern Cal.
No. Linebackers coach.
Oh, I thought it was D.C.
I think linebackers coach.
Is he? Okay. All right. So just linebackers coach. Why do they give the linebackers coach an entire press conference then?
Because he's Rob Ryan.
He's awesome.
I mean, and can they do it every week?
So
I thought he's the D.C. because I saw people tweeting that they were looking forward to Rob Ryan press conferences every week.
Assistant head coach defense / linebackers.
Okay. Assistant head coach, get press conferences when you're Rob Ryan.
When you're
you
Rob Ryan. Tanny, I got to know, how much did you listen to of that press conference give us that 3 minutes of gold?
Come on. It was a 19 and a half minute or so press conference. I enjoyed every second of it. the thing that doesn't translate, he's walking off the stage for comedic effect. And it's so funny. Like, especially that last story that he tells about Hawaii. He's working the crowd. It's so good. I enjoyed every second.
Going side to side and doing these walks to illustrate size of his people that he's talking about.
I was waiting for him to say, hey, who's from out of town here?
Did we know that Rex Ryan did that for the Cubs game? Is that was that public knowledge?
That was new to me. That's why
it was new
there,
to me, too. That he packed up the Jets coaches and drove to Cleveland.
Man, no, I didn't know that. I've never heard that story about the World Series.
That's pretty good.
So this, I'm looking at a blog, an Oregon Ducks blog, okay, called OtsonZoo.com.
Brooklyn!
Here's the headline. Incoherent ramblings of Rob Ryan have Oregon feeling even better about USC game. That's the headline.
It was an easy recruitment because he always wanted to be a Duck.
And who wouldn't?
He walks like a duck.
That was weird. Like, I don't know if I want to recruit a guy who wants to be a duck.
If he walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
So right now, the rest of the pack, 12? Or it's Big Ten.
No, they're Big Ten now.
Yeah, the rest of the
Big
Ten.
But there's four teams from the old Pac-12 that are right. In the...
Does the Pac exist?
Yes, it's the Pac-2.
Is the Pac... It's just the two.
Right. Washington State and Oregon State.
You're
but
my
they're,
guy.
But they're getting ready to add back... I think they're basically just going to add the Mountain West, and it'll be a whole... But they did a whole bit. They did, like, Pac-2 Media Day.
Oh, that's funny.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Pac-2 After Dark.
Yes. Texture says, wait, that was all from today? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's 3 minutes of 19.
3 minutes of 19.
From the ridiculous to the sublime.
Yeah, when we come back, and Dan knows the Ryan brothers pretty well, too, because, you know, Dan Pompey knows everybody. But we wanted to get a historic point of view on the death of Virginia McCaskey. So Dan Pompey, even though he was already been on the morning show today, he felt it necessary to come on and hang out with us, and we are very thankful for that. We'll find out about the life, the legacy of Virginia McCaskey from Dan Pompey next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
George, how would you describe your mother's role in this process and her reaction to what's happened?
She's been very supportive. She agrees with the decisions that we've made. She's pissed off. I can't think of a 91-year-old woman that description would apply to, but in this case, I can't think of a more accurate description. She's been on this earth for 8 of the Bears' 9 championships, and she wants more. She feels that it's been too long since the last one, and that dissatisfaction is shared by her children, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren. She's fed up with mediocrity. She feels that she and Bears fans everywhere deserve better.
It's George McCaskey talking about his mother, Virginia Hallis McCaskey, who passed away earlier today at the age of 102. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Dan Pompey is pretty much known as the guy that has the history on the Bears as a franchise. And he already visited with Mully and Haw today. So, Dan, we are really happy that you had the time and inclination to pick up the phone for us here on the afternoon show. Thank you very much for that. What is the football world lost with the death of Virginia McCaskey?
We are happy to be with you guys. A sad day, obviously, for any of us who were touched by Virginia McCaskey. You know, I think you could ask the question, people have asked the question, what was her mark on the team? What was her mark on the league? And to me, her mark wasn't so much in terms of anything that the Bears accomplished or didn't accomplish or you know, some significant growth area of the league. It was, you know, she set an example, I think, of really how people in her sphere, you know, whether it be administrators with the team, administrators in the league, other owners, coaches, players, you know, anyone she touched, she set an example, really, of how to live a life. And, you know, she was a wonderful wife and mother, and she had a priority straight. She never got too skewed about, you know, what was important. The Bears were very, very important to her. She used to cry after losses. But I think she really kind of had a good grasp on what was most important. And she left an example, and I think, you know, all the people who were around her, the players who – she started giving a little talk to players late in her life once a year. And, you know, the players who heard that were always really impressed. And I think the people who she got to spend one time with will always remember those moments and the things that she had to say to them.
Dan, you've written beautifully about her before and did so again today. And it's amazing to think about the entirety of her life. You wrote about something she was involved in when she was 3 years old in 1925. when football was behind baseball and college football and boxing and horse racing and tennis and golf and probably wrestling in popularity. And
college football, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And when she's 3 years old in that 1925 year, can you describe the way you do for our listeners what she was involved in at that point?
Yeah, she was 2 years old when she went with her mother on the Red Grange Tour, and at least a portion of the Red Grange Tour. And her baby brother, Muggs, had just been born, and she was old enough though to go. And you know, she was carried in Red Grange's arms as a 2 year old.
Wow.
And she witnessed all these games, and you know, that was obviously a seminal moment for the National Football League. You know, the growth of popularity really started there. And then she had a front row seat for everything that happened in terms of, you know, the league's expansion and foothold it got on the American culture. She was there for all of it. And there's nobody like her in sports who could say that. And, you know, it's just remarkable that she was able to touch everyone from, you know, Red Grange to Caleb Williams. It's something that could never be recreated. You know, it's almost unbelievable to sit here and talk about it. I mean, it does. You know, really? Could this have happened? But it did happen.
Yeah, and right in the – you have, like, the Red Grange, Dick Butkus, Walter Payton, Dan – like, all the way to Caleb Williams. Like, that – you're right, Dan. Like, that spectrum – of all of the interactions that she had, and seeing how ownership in the NFL has changed and women's role in ownership in football overall has changed. And when you think about it, like, what? She was born the year after suffrage? Like, you know what I mean? Like, football was born a year after suffrage, and here she is as one of the matriarchs of the NFL.
It's amazing. You know, when Don Pearson and I were doing the work for the Centennial Scrapbook, I think this would have been summer of 2018, might have been 2017. We spent about 20 hours with her in her living room, interviewing her for this book. And we talked about every stage of the Bears and all the players that she touched, and the people in her life from the team. And it was wonderful. Between those interviews and other times that I've talked with her, I have like 108 typewritten pages of notes from her stories. And it's really, it's incredible to hear her talk about Bill George or Bill Osmanski or Link Lyman, you know, these Hall of Fame players that really have kind of escaped. I know, you know, if you talk to people of a younger generation, like my kids, they'll say, who is that? You know, but and I get it. I mean, you know, these people were gone way before you and I were around, too. But such an important part of football history. And, you know, if you have an appreciation for what went before, I think, you know, she was just a great resource for memories and history of the National Football League and the Bears in particular.
Well, this is a day to bring her kind of legacy to life, for lack of a better term, for people. And you're doing a great job with that. I've been thinking about her as a young woman, or I guess, excuse me, a middle-aged woman, in her 50s, when Muggs dies, when the son of George Jr., or George III, I guess he was, Muggs, dies, and he's the one that George thought was going to take over. So George was still alive and runs him for, what, another 3 years or so? But then Virginia has to step up. So she wasn't expecting to do that her whole life, and then all of a sudden she had to step up and do what she did the rest of her life. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, something that she really wasn't prepared for. You know, Muggs, as you said, had been kind of groomed to do this, and she had kind of spent her life trying to be the best mother to 11 children she could be. And all of a sudden, she had no choice but to be the person who was really kind of in charge of the Chicago Bears. But, you know, she never really took a role that required her to make a lot of decisions. She put her son Michael in charge initially and then, you know, ended up replacing him in the 1990s, eventually put George in charge, and really kind of stayed in the background for the most part, you know, and allowed them to do what she did. But she would voice her opinions. You know, she was always on the board of directors, and she had an opinion to give at times. But again, she was never an owner the way most owners in sports operate.
Do you have a gut feeling as to what happens next? I know there are 7 votes, I do believe, in terms of what the family's going to do. Do you have any gut feeling on what's going to happen, Dan?
You know, I would guess that it's going to be status quo. You know, I think that certainly that's what they have said forever, that this is what's going to happen. But, you know, things change. You know, the money has become outrageous. The value of the Chicago Bears is, you know, through the roof. There might be different factors of the family that have different opinions. So, you know, we'll have to just kind of let the thing play out and see what happens. But, you know, I know it was her hope, and it's the hope of George and, you know, most of the people who are really intimately involved with the team, that it will remain in the family.
Dan, we truly appreciate you giving your decades of knowledge about this franchise and this woman to us here, and knowing that you do have a personal relationship. We know it's not easy, but we thank you for educating us and the audience on her life and legacy.
I want to leave you with one thing. One of the things that we asked her was what she hoped for from the Bears in the next 100 years. And she said this. She said that we can survive, thrive, and do good things. We have a responsibility to the players and their health. We have a responsibility to the community. And I think the players have a responsibility. When they go into a classroom and talk to children about reading, health habits, or the importance of education, the kids listen. Parents and teachers can preach all day, but when a Chicago Bear goes in and talks about it, I hope it has a positive impact. And I think that's very important for the future of our young people in this country.
That's what she stood for right there. Wow.
Beautiful. Dan, thank you again.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
It's Dan Pompey of The Athletic. It's phenomenal. That's why you put Dan Pompey on.
From the ridiculous earlier to the sublime, as we promised. Now back to the ridiculous, unfortunately, with Arturis Karnishevas speaking on the Bulls trade deadline.
It's next here on The Score.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.